We will reopen this meeting at 7:06. Please rise for an invocation led by Mr. Flowers and actually led by our newest board member, Mr. Mineras.
By the grace of Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together on this evening, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to have your way in each and every one of our lives that's represented in this room today, Lord God. Let your will be done in all of our lives, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to just take our hand and lead us and guide us down the path of righteousness, Lord God. And as we walk, Lord God, keep your angels encamped round about us all the days of our lives. Bless this board, bless this district, Lord God. Bless our community. Just have your way in each and every one of our lives. In Christ's name we pray and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Please put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Seated.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Ms. Polos?
Here.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Mr. Monares?
Here.
Here.
The next item on our agenda is a report of action taken in closed session. The board took one action. The board unanimously voted to authorize the superintendent or his designee, pursuant to Education Code Section 44951, to notify a program specialist, employee ID number RS4389140, that she will be released from her administrative assignment and reassigned at the conclusion of the current school year. That was the only action taken in closed session. Next item on our agenda is a public hearing. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:08 p.m. for the purpose of hearing testimony regarding the 2014-15 district's initial proposal to the Teachers Association of West Covina. Is there anyone who would like to address the board regarding this item? Seeing no one, there being no further comment, the public hearing is hereby declared closed at 7:09. Okay, we have a couple of presentations tonight. The first one is to the West Covina Sunrise Rotary Shoes and Socks Program. Dr. Henry?
Thank you, President Shoemaker. Per the board's direction, we are really trying to recognize fantastic deeds done in our community, especially the ones that surround our schools. We have two such celebrations this evening, so I would like to ask Ms. Hawkins, who has program responsibility, to do the introduction.
Thank you, President Shoemaker and the board. The first presentation that we're going to do is to we're going to ask Luann Arredondo to come up here. It's a representative from the Sunrise Rotary in a joint effort with Roland Unified School District. We provided about 100 shoes and socks to our kids. They got to go to the mall and choose the shoes and socks. It's for Monta Vista Elementary School, and so would you like to say a few words?
So thank you for having the West Covina Sunrise Rotary Club come up here. It's actually really exciting for us to work with the community and work with the school districts. We did 200 shoes total this year. 100 went to Yorbita Elementary School in Roland's Unified School District and 100 to Monta Vista in our school district. The kids were fabulous. The principal was fabulous. Everybody was actually really excited that day. It was nice to see school board members there rolling up their sleeves and helping put shoes and socks on kids in need. So thank you.
This is just a certificate for the West Covina Sunrise Rotary. It says the Board of Education wishes to recognize West Covina Sunrise Rotary for your valuable contributions through the Shoes and Socks program.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Shoemaker. Could we get over to take with the Sunrise Rotary people, take a picture with the rest of the group?
That's good. Yeah. And you know what? I forgot to mention a really great group that helped us, and that is the Edgewood High School Interact Club. They helped raise loose change for the project.
Sunrise Rotary, take a picture.
Interact.
Okay, at this time I would like to ask Ms. Hawkins to introduce our next program recognition.
Thank you very much. So the next program that we would like to recognize is a partnership with the Starwood Retail Mall here in West Covina, and it has to do with our canned food drive. Several of our schools participated in the canned food drive. All of the cans that were collected, which was about 2,700 cans within the district, were collected and used here in our West Covina community, which we're really excited about. And so as part of that effort, there was a contest for second and third place and then a participation prize. It's cash money that the schools get, and so I'm going to call for a representative. The principals here, if they'd come up and receive the check, that would be fantastic. The first prize winner with 870 cans raised was Vine Elementary School. The second place winner was California Elementary School with 581 cans. And then our third place winner with 560 cans was Edgewood High School. Then the next three schools participated in this and received participation checks for this process: Coronado Alternative School, West Covina High School, and Walnut Grove Intermediate School. A few pictures. I get to do the talking. You get to be in the pictures.
All cozy up there. All right. Are we going in?
Yes.
Okay. We're coming in, Jessica.
Monica, they could make two rows and then everybody over there.
Now we will move on to the hearing session. I do not have a report. Is there any other board member? Mr. Flowers?
Good afternoon. Again, I'd like to thank the Sunrise Rotary for being a part of our the Shoes and Socks for the two districts in Roland and one here in West Covina. Me being part of Sunrise Rotary, which I'm so proud of, to our President Lou Arredondo, I give you a hand also. We did 100 shoes this year, so next year I hope we can do 200 if possible in our school district. This is to the needy kids in our district. Also to the can drive. The board got together and we met with some of the people at the general partners of the mall, and I got a chance to talk to Lisa, and so they were able to get donations to the can drive. I'm sorry to hear that all the schools didn't participate. So this next year, even if you got 10 cans in, I think you got $250. So we only had six schools, I think. So next year, I hope we can get every school involved, because all of those cans goods go to the needy in our community, and that's what we're about. Our district come first, but we're a community as a whole, and that's what it's about. And I'd like to thank the general partners of the mall for hoping we can give them a presentation also one afternoon to thank them for what they've done and what they're doing to do. Also, they know donated money to our shoes and socks also. So they're doing great things in our district, and I would ask you guys just support them all any way you can for them supporting us. You know, that's it. Thank you.
Ms. Miranda Menes?
Thank you. I also want to thank the Rotary. It was a great event to help the kids with the shoes and socks. Ms. Gonzalez Gomez, your school was wonderful. The kids were adorable. And in addition, the mall even sent a district person from the district representative from Chicago came down to help too. So they're really being a really good community partner. So I thank you very much for doing that. And I look forward to rolling up my sleeves and helping next year because that was a lot of fun. And thank you to the schools that participated in the canned food drive. That was really good. And how wonderful to get a small check for your school. Some things that I wanted to report on that I attended over the last 2 weeks, academic decathlon. I am so, so proud of West Covina High School. They came in number 18th overall, and they got the second place prize for, they got the most improved score, second place for that. So they went from, I don't know, it's like 30 last year to 18 this year. I was super, super excited for them. We were cheering for them, and absolutely, congratulations. I know Mr. Dorsey's here, to Edgewood. Last year they got 8th place, and this year they came in 4th. So they did really 3rd? Oh, I have 4th on my 3rd? That's even better. So Beverly Hills High School went down? Even better. Thank you for that. I didn't know that. Okay, so, see, we all got the good news. They were 3rd, so they are going to compete in state. They did phenomenal. Both teams did so well. I was so proud of West Covina making such a huge jump, and for Edgewood, our new school, our newbie school, and to do so well. Additionally, I want to congratulate both Edgewood and West Covina High School. The 8th graders, your field trips to showcase your schools went off very, very well. I have an 8th grader. And a lot of 8th grade friends that I heard from, her friends, and so they really enjoyed both of your schools. So I want to say thank you to both principals for opening up your doors and having a great recruitment session for the 8th graders. I want to thank Ms. Hawkins. John Antonetti was here, and I only caught a small piece, but if there's any science teachers in the audience, he did a really good job, and I was amazed that at 2:30 they were still engaged. So that is a very good presentation. Also, the West Covina Beautiful Celebration, that was a lot of fun to go to. West Covina's 92nd birthday, that was a lot of fun. I know I was there with Ms. Polis and Mr. Flowers and Dr. Hinman. Thank you for coming and supporting our city in their birthday. And last but not least, Hearst Ranch, as an update, on July the 19th, Hearst Ranch is partnering with the Historical Society to do a Taste of the Town. Tickets are going to be $75. They're going to have high-end chefs here. They're going to be at Hearst Ranch, and some of the proceeds will be benefiting the Garden Gourmet program, along with scholarships for West Covina students that are going on to Cal Poly. So that is benefiting our district. So put that on your calendars. That'll be on July the 19th. So that's it. Thank you. 3rd place. That's awesome.
Eileen, one question. Eileen, it's going to be a taste. Do you have different organizations?
They're going to have different chefs coming in. They have chefs coming in from the Food Network, as well as chefs from around West Covina. I'm not part of that planning committee, but Hearst Ranch is providing the facility for the community as a whole, but it'll be July 19th from 11 to 5.
Give you a price?
$75 per person. Yes.
I would just like to add that it's an honor and a privilege to be seated here amongst these board members. I was sworn in about maybe 40 minutes ago. So I look forward to meeting all the administrators that are here as time rolls out. And for all the community members that are here, I look forward to serving this community. It's like I said, it's an honor to be here with such experienced board members. And the one thing I can assure you is that you will get from me 100% when it comes to serving our students, our teachers, our classified staff, and everybody that truly makes our schools be the great schools that they are. So, I hope to get to know you down the road and being able to serve you in whatever capacity I can. So thank you.
Student representative report?
For Edgewood High School, last week they sent 5 ASB students to leave for Student Government Day at West Covina City Hall. And what they did was they shadowed a council member for the day. And then from February 22nd to the 25th, WASC will be visiting Edgewood High School. And then February 27th, softball fundraiser will be having our teachers versus students at the Edgewood High School baseball field. For Coronado High School, last weekend, 30 students and 4 staff members went on a hike at Smith Mountain. Students from photography, art, and biology did a cross-curricular project. Our softball team defeated Century High School 8-1 for a win in our first game. And Mount SAC was on campus today and helped our students fill out their FAFSA applications. For West Covina High School, next Friday, our school will be hosting our spring sports rally in order to recognize the spring sports. And our theme is Harry Potter, and our slogan is the Chamber of Champions. And we'll include magical performances by our fine arts programs, dances by the sports teams, and we'll also be having a spelling bee between the teachers and the students with Harry Potter spells. So we'll see how that goes. And then on the same day, the UNICEF Club will be hosting their annual karaoke night, and all proceeds will be given to the UNICEF organization. Next Saturday, on March 7th, the National English Honor Society will be hosting their annual Dr. Seuss Day in the Bulldog Cafeteria. So the event is open to all members of the community in order to encourage reading amongst children. There will be snacks, booths with crafts and interactive games, and it's just a great time to encourage literature amongst your children. So I'm part of the club, and we have a lot in store for you guys. And adding on to the Student Government Day, I was very lucky to attend it myself. So there was 5 of us in total, so from my school, and it was just an interesting time to see behind the scenes of our city government, and it was very just really nice to be there.
It is time for informal report from staff. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. I'd like to start with Mr. Seaman.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity to share a little bit about human resources, or HR as most people call it. First, I want to start off with saying that in my division, I have an exceptional staff, small staff, but exceptional staff, 2 veterans, and if you haven't been over there, 2 new faces who are doing quite well. Since July 1st, they've been so busy hiring over 175 new employees to the district. About 70% of those are classified employees. We're gearing up for negotiations after hopefully the acceptance of our proposals here. We'll set dates to negotiate with TALK, and I'm waiting for some information from CSEA. I see Ms. Bernard just back there in the back. Get some information from them, and we can get to the table and negotiate for the 14-15 school year. In an effort to stay ahead of the game with our calendars and allow our employees to know information ahead of time to make plans and vacation plans, we're currently working on a 2016-17 recommendations for a calendar to bring to the board, hopefully April 14th, so we stay at least a year ahead so people can make plans well in advance. We already have a 15-16 calendar established. And a couple new things. There's a new law that affects all of the employees here with child abuse reporting, that everyone annually will need to go through child abuse training set up by the state. It just went into effect for this year. It's affecting all the new employees since January 1st. But that's something that will be annually done. And starting Monday, registration for next year. So we have registration going on starting Monday at all the at all the schools, mainly looking at the kindergartens because they're not going to be repeaters and coming back. So registration starts March 2nd. Thank you.
Registration for what?
I'm sorry. Registration for new students, for students at our school.
Oh, these poor kids, they haven't even finished this year, and you're already going to make them register for next year.
Those ones go through a sequence at the school, but all the new incoming students and things can some start applying and coming from other districts to us, and all those influx of ninth graders that we get from other districts, so they're all going to start coming Monday.
Very good. Ms. Hawkins.
Well, a lot of the activities that we're working on are part of the division presentations tonight, but I would like to say that I did have the opportunity to go to the city council meeting and see the students from Edgewood and Coronado and West Covina High receive their certificates and sort of culminate their day. And it was just really neat to see them sitting next to the city council members and the chief of police and things. and receiving that honoring. So that's my report.
Thank you. My brief report, you'll notice Dr. Coughlin is not here. He's actually at a cash conference. So no, it's not a conference about cash. I wish it was, and he could bring us back some. But it's actually Coalition of Adequate School Funding, school housing, excuse me, cash. And if you look at the state during the downturn, there really hasn't been any funding for facilities. They used to have matching funds where we would put up X amount of money, the state would match it, and we can improve our facilities. They even had state bonds, which we could qualify for and have a revenue stream through that. It's really been shut down for the last 6 years. However, there are rumblings, Board. There are rumblings that things might be changing a little bit, which is why I asked Dr. Coughlin to go, and he will be presenting next board meeting about his findings and some potential avenues that this board might want to go down to start investigating some of our facility concerns, which I know you have all shared with me at some point. In his absence, I would like to introduce Manoj Roy Chowdhury is here. Manoj is in our business department. I think he probably gets more work done in a day than a lot of us because the papers in his office are piled very, very high, and he goes through them on a daily basis. He doesn't celebrate it at all, just so you know. I have to literally force conversation with him because he's always got his nose to the grind. But he is here to answer any questions you may have. So in Dr. Coughlin's day, he is the man of the hour, so I want to thank him for being here. You also notice there are several principals in the audience this evening. I'd like to thank them for being here. One of the reasons they're here is because of Ms. Hawkins' presentation to be coming up shortly, talking a little bit about some of the programs that the board has been investigating and discussing, and they'd like to hear about that as well. So, again, I want to thank them for coming out tonight and being part of that so we can all be on the same page. So thank you.
The next item on our agenda is items from the floor, public comment. I have one request to address the board this evening, and that request is from Jerry Gonzalez.
Hello. We're from Edgewood High School. We have made a petition for our ECC to become a actual class, Edgewood Cadet Corps, in other words. I had a petition to give to Jessica Valadez, but she kind of left. But yeah, we came here to show that we actually want this to become a class. This is only some of the members we have, but we have petitions to make it an actual class. Questions?
On this part of the agenda, we're not allowed to ask questions. It's just for the public to address us. And so what will happen is with the information you give us, somebody from staff will contact you with any follow-up information that needs to be given.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the board at this time? Maybe some of the fellow students who are interested in this class.
Hello. I would like to say that a good reason to give us this class would be to give everybody the opportunity, not all careers. Like information sets or classes are had in our school to give us the skill sets to have our information. And we would like to have our career. God damn it. Sorry, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I think this would give us a good skill set for our careers that we would like to achieve in our lives after high school. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you, just because our meetings are recorded, give your name for the record?
My name is Abraham Navarro.
And don't worry, that's not the worst word we've heard up here. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one, we'll go ahead and move on to the business session of our meeting. First item on the agenda is approval of agenda and consent items. Is there any board member who would like to remove an item from consent?
I would like to take number 5 off, please.
Yes. Okay, any items that a board member would like to add to consent?
I would like to add 4 and 10.
Any objection? Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Mr. Flowers moves. Ms. Miranda Jimenez seconds the approval of the agenda and consent items as amended. Okay. First item on our agenda is number 3, and that is. Oh, sorry. Did I miss that? All in favor?
Aye.
Wow, I got resounding eyes. I need to forget to do it more often.
You did.
Okay, then the next item on our agenda is item number 3, California School Board Association Delegate Assembly Ballot. Say that 3 times fast.
President Shoemaker, I think you also have to vote on item. I don't know if you're planning on going back to it, but vote on item 5 that was pulled.
We're on item number three.
Okay.
Okay. So, item number 3, I'm going to have to say it again. California School Boards Association Delegate Assembly Ballot. Okay, our current representatives, I believe, are Ms. Miranda Jimenez and Mrs. Christina Lucero. Do I have any discussion on this item?
I'll move both of them. They've both been representing us well.
And I would second it. Ms. Jimenez.
Thank you.
I wish the election would be this
easy. The regular
election. I'm sure it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Mean
our general election.
General election. There's nobody else. This is awesome.
It was moved by Ms. Polis and seconded by Mr. Flowers to vote for Ms. Miranda Jimenez and Mrs. Lucero to serve on the CSBA Delegate Assembly for Subregion 23C. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carries 5-0. Okay. Now we are on number 5, Consultant Services Agreement.
I have to recuse myself from this agenda item.
Okay. Do you have to remove yourself, like, from up here?
No, I did. Well, I can't vote. I don't believe I need to step down from the dais.
Okay. I will move this item.
I'll second it.
Before we take the vote, are you abstaining from the vote, or are you recusing yourself?
Well, I thought I only had to abstain, but I've been informed that I have to recuse myself.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with abstention. Which one is it? Which one is it supposed to be?
She recused herself.
Okay. With Ms. Polis recusing herself. Okay. Next item is number 11, Information Report Update on Proposed District Programs. Dr. Hinman?
Thank you, President Shoemaker. As I shared a little earlier, we are very, very, very excited about this presentation. One of the things the board charged me with as the superintendent of the district is to take a very, 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 very good school district to the next level. I can't take credit for a lot of what's going to happen in the presentation because the board had already given some direction to go down this road. So you're going to hear some things that may not be new, but the board has not approved any of the 4 programs that we're presenting this evening. Now, we're not asking for approval this evening. I'll be really clear on that. This is a presentation that we can get consensus from the board so staff can then come back and put all the nuts and bolts together and answer all the deep questions such as finance and curriculum and implementation. We just want to make sure that the board feels that staff is going down the right path, following the direction that you'd like us to go in. Again, a lot of this is not new. We've had these conversations. You know, you've been out with your constituents. You've been out in the public. So you've heard about these programs and you've talked to people. Provided we get consensus, we will then ramp up our implementation proposal and bring it back to you within probably partially at the next board meeting and then the following meeting afterwards, depending upon what we can put together. So tonight is just more of an informational evening. Feel free to answer questions. We may not have all the answers, but we will sure have them when we come back and we ask for approval. So with that being said, again, I want to thank all the principals for being here. They're a big part of that. And I'll turn it over to Ms. Hawkins for the presentation.
Thank you again to the board and the superintendent and everybody for being here this evening. We're going to talk a little bit about some programs that we are looking into for our district, and I want to give you a little bit of background on where we are, why we're looking into those programs. Last year, in the spring, we developed the LCAP. And in the LCAP, after looking at our student data and reviewing our strategic plan, these three areas seem to be very important and in need of some support through district programs. So increasing the number of students who are college and career ready with our A through G, looking at our rigorous curriculum to ensure that we provide that to students, and then really looking at the STEM component of our strategic plan and looking at the curriculum that we would be able to provide and should be providing our students in that area. So tonight, we're going to talk with you about four different programs that we're examining across the district. And I have Cheryl Lessiker, our Director of K-12 Education, here to talk with us, and Janet Rivera, who's our Teacher on Special Assignment, to speak with us. And so we'll each be taking turns, and then we'll answer questions at the end. So, Cheryl.
Okay. In our strategic plan, we addressed the need to provide STEM programs to facilitate greater preparation for our post-secondary achievement. Project Lead the Way. Project Lead the Way. Thank you. Offers options for our students, and that's what these are about. They're options for our students, and it provides them across several disciplines. Engineering, for example, complements the robotics program that we offer at West Covina High School. It also opens doors to partner with Cal Poly Pomona and their engineering school and to receive college credit, which has a possibility. Then we'd partner with a college to work together to develop the college credit. This program also provides experience in high school for students expressing an interest in engineering. But the pathways also focus on solving problems, not getting just the right answer. It also can influence their post-secondary career decisions, and it develops highly transferable skills in critical thinking, collaboration and problem solving, and it prepares students for the jobs that will exist in the future that don't really exist right now. So if the board decides that further investigation of the program is something of interest, then we can proceed with our planning phase. Oops, okay. And if approved, then the implementation would be the 2016-17 school year, starting with the first class in their sophomore year. Okay. Another program that's providing options for students is what's called AP Capstone Diploma Program. It emphasizes college and career readiness and was designed to provide students an option equal to IB. AP Capstone has collaborated with the college and universities to define its content and standards. It includes a high level of inquiry combined with research and presentations. And it is a two-year program that kind of complements our IB program. If a student completes both programs, the AP seminar and the research course, with a score of 3 or higher, and additional 4 AP courses with a score of 3 or higher, they receive the diploma. If they complete the AP seminar or the AP research course with a score of 3 or higher, they receive a certificate. So once again, if the board approves to have us investigate a little farther into this program, it would be a unique offering for the Valley, because there are only four schools in the entire state right now offering AP Capstone. And we have only 100 nationwide offering AP Capstone. And since it's a two-year program, it wouldn't start until 2016-17. Those four districts that I talked about are in their first year. Next year would be their second year. And if this is something that is of interest, it wouldn't start till 16-17. Okay.
Both of those programs are programs that we're looking at West Covina High as part of the pieces that we're going through. And so we've been working with Mr. Trovatore and his staff as we plan these. The next piece that I want to talk to you about is a little bit about the International Baccalaureate Program. And I think as a district, we're very familiar with that program because of the work at Edgewood. But I want to call a little bit of attention to the learner profile that's part of the IB experience, which has to do with inquiry and knowledge base and creating real-world thinkers. When we look at how, as a district and as a state, as a nation, we're moving forward with Common Core, this IB learner profile is really a direct complement to those Common Core inquiry skills, those Common Core skills of communicating and understanding things and taking a stand on things and really being able to support your argument. And so when we were looking at programs to provide additional opportunities to our students, the IB program, because of that learner profile, was a natural piece that we wanted to take a look at. So one of the first programs that we're looking at is the Middle Years Program. And the Middle Years Program is offered by the International Baccalaureate Program. It's a grade 6 through 10 program. It's in preparation for either the IB Diploma Program, which we currently offer at Edgewood, or it can be part of the IB Career-Related Program. So IB now has a sort of a career technical ed strand that they're looking at as well for the high schools, which we certainly could examine, but we don't currently offer. The Middle Years Program is not an elite program for only high-level students. The Middle Years Program is designed to be a school-wide program that is built around the IB learner profiles. So the entire school functions as an IB school. It's not a track of kids like you might see in other more IB diploma high school situations. It's comprised mainly of these eight subgroups, and the school makes determinations. So you can see there's a language acquisition, a language and literature. The students work with science, math, arts, physical and health education, and then a design component where they're learning computer-aided designs for presentations and things. There are projects based around that the students have to complete, and there's also a community service piece presentation that goes along with that. So you can see the alignment to what we've normally seen with the IB schools. The other program that also complements the IB diploma piece and feeds into nicely the middle years program is the idea of the primary years program. And here you can see it's a pre-K through 5 program. It's built around what they call 5 essential elements, knowledge, which is basically the traditional subjects, and some interdisciplinary work, so some math science kinds of things that you see going on, some social studies reading sorts of things going on, but it's built around those core subjects. So it's not removing those from the curriculum. The concepts are really structured around inquiry, and when you look into the IB pieces for middle years and primary years, inquiry and the idea of researching and justification and having a hypothesis for your learning is really in the central core of that program. It talks about the skills, which is the basic skills in creating the lifelong learning, again, the IB profile. And for this particular program, for primary years, it has 6 interdisciplinary themes, is what they call them. Basically, it's a project a year. It's appropriate to the grade level, and the students go through that process. So unlike what you might be familiar with the high school program, where the kids take the IB tests and they get the diploma piece, with the middle years and the primary years program, there are projects and pieces that the students do moving forward, all in line with taking the coursework in their junior and senior year for the IB diploma. So if we were to choose to move forward with that, what we're looking at for the 14-15 school year is we've been collecting data, and we would continue to collect data from the San Gabriel Valley School Districts. Because of the nature of Edgewood Middle School and Edgewood High School, Edgewood Middle School is the natural school for the middle years program. And also because of the feeder pattern and the closeness and proximity, we're looking at Orangewood as a potential primary years program. That would be a nice complement. It would be close proximity. With this program, we have to apply for consideration. We have to train teachers. There are some steps that we need to do. And really, year one implementation, which is basic training for the teachers and implementing those learner profiles, would or could begin in 15-16 for year one or 16-17. But it's all dependent on approval from the IB program. So now what I'd like Janet Rivera, our teacher on special assignment, to talk a little bit about dual immersion.
Good evening. The dual immersion program provides students with the opportunity of enriched coursework in both for our English-only students and our English learner students, where they can become bilingual and biliterate in two languages. This also further supports them in their college and career readiness, globally economically, and also allows for more doors to open for them. In addition, being bilingual benefits assist students in better preparing them for the global economy. Students in this group tend to score higher in standardized testing. In addition, the English learner population in dual programs outperforms their counterparts in regular programs. Overall, we have decades of research which reflects the benefits of the program for both English-only and English learner students. The planning and implementation would only begin with our kinder. It's important. An important decision for us would be to see what model would best suit or best service our student population. We would then evaluate our staffing situation, prepare professional development, evaluate and select curriculum. But most importantly, we would need to get our community, especially our English learner community, to better understand the overall benefits of our dual immersion program. Thank you.
So as you can see, my division has been a little busy doing a little bit of research. So just in review for the consensus that we're looking for, we have the Project Lead the Way, which is really a STEM curriculum. We have the AP Capstone piece, which was really for our higher level complement to IB at our other four-year comprehensive high school. Then we have the IB Middle Years Program at Edgewood Middle, the IB Primary Years Program at Orangewood Elementary, and then we're looking at the Dual Immersion Program. I've had a lot of experience with this program. I've seen it go K through 12 and grow. It's a really exciting program that you see a lot of really positive things happen for all of the students involved. Where that would be housed and how that would work would all be part of the investigation that staff and I would do over the next few weeks. So that has not been something where we've looked at specific locations. Any questions?
So let me jump in here really quick. First of all, I do want to apologize to the board. I know that you're aware of all this information, but it is unfair to bring four programs forward simultaneously. I realize that. The catch-22 is the timing of my appointment. And I've said this publicly to every group I've met with. The worst thing you can do as a new leader is to come in and promote change. Because you don't have the confidence of the group, and you've just told everybody the way they've been doing things for 20 some odd years is wrong. None of this is change. It's really just moving forward. And because I've come in January, if no change is implemented for 6 months, realistically, none of this could be implemented until the following fall of 16-17. I believe your charge to me was not to wait 18 months, but to get things going. And I apologize for, and again to the public and to the principals, if it seems like we're moving very fast. This really is a 15-16 implementation. And the last thing I want to share is that if we get consensus to go forward, not only will our charge be to start putting together the data and implementation process, but Ms. Hawkins will be going out into the community and meeting with the teachers. We want to include the union. We want to include the students. We want to include the parents. And we're going to do a lot of community work to make sure that if we bring any one of these four forward, that there will be resounding support in the community to do that. So what we're asking for this evening really is a consensus, which is not a vote per se, that you would like us to continue down this path and continue to do the work.
Well, I'm not sure that you should be apologizing to the board, because I think you should be apologizing to staff
because it's always been a goal of the board to offer as many programs as we can. So my blanket answer is yes, please. So good luck for me on researching all of the options, because I'm interested in all of them. One thing that I thought about on the IB program, the middle years program, is the career-related program. I really would like to know more about that, because I would be curious as to how it could work with our ROP program. Mm-hmm. And maybe that particular career-related program go more towards West Covina High. Mm-hmm. And I know it's the middle years program, so I'm not quite sure how it could work, but at least 9-10 and integrate with ROP, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it is, how it works. But that would just be one area that I would like to see looked at. And then my other question was the AP Capstone program. Do they run it in two-year cycles, and that's why we can't start till 2016-17, or is it because we just need that amount of time to get ready for it?
We have to get accepted to it for a particular time frame to set it up, so that's where we are with that.
And if I can interject just really quick about the AP Capstone, which I find very fascinating, Advanced Placement is run by College Board. And when you ask yourself, why is AP doing this, it's because they – CIB is coming at them hard and fast. They are competitive entities, and they see the writing on the wall. If they don't change and start addressing that need, they're going to be kind of left behind. So the whole point in bringing that up is I want to commend the board for your vision of putting in the IB program, because I think if College Board and Advanced Placement see the merits of IB and are changing their curriculum for it, I think you've made a great decision.
Last question on the capstone one is, it says 2016-17 selection and training of teachers and a parent meeting. Wouldn't that be when we are actually starting the program? So shouldn't that happen in?
It would be part of the implementation process ahead of time, but the actual implementation of the program would not be till 16-17.
Okay.
So yeah.
But just to clarify, in the spring of 16 is
correct.
When you would be having the parent meeting and the sign-ups
correct.
And the registering for classes.
Well, depending on what the board directs us to do and what the board eventually approves, I'm sure parent meetings will happen earlier than 16.
Yeah, I was just confused, because when I saw this, I thought to myself, well, does that mean it doesn't start till 17-18?
No.
So that is why I need a clarification. Mr. Flowers, do you have any questions?
My problem. When you to implement this program, so you say you bring in teachers, so you're going to send teachers out, probably out of state, or you bring someone in state to train these teachers?
It depends on the particular training. Many of them do have in-state training components, but there are some out-of-state requirements. With the middle years program, unlike the IB diploma program, they do bring some of the training to all of the teachers at the school, and I believe they do the same thing for the primary years program. Oh. That's generally built into the budgets of all of these.
Are we going to use this, our own teachers, or are we going to bring...
No, be our own teachers.
I like the idea. What I love about it, to see our district go forward, I mean, people are going to try to... They'll try to imitate us, but they would never be able to duplicate us. So I like that as we move forward, you know, I can see greater things on the horizon for our district. A lot of work for you, though. You and Cheryl.
It's exciting.
Yes.
I think all of the programs are fabulous.
Okay.
I just want to say I'm really excited about the AP choices and going to the capstone. It's just going to make our students that much more competitive in getting into the elite colleges. I want to give West Covina High a round of applause. My nephew was able to start college as a sophomore because of the AP classes he was able to take at West Covina High. And so he's able to graduate in 3 years. And I know my sister would applaud you, because that's only 3 years instead of 4 years she had to pay for a college education. So this is,
me too.
And I know this is something he would have elected to do. So the students who want to be in a more comprehensive environment are still going to be able to do the things that West Covina High School has to offer, but be in this competitive program and be just it will look just as good as on their high school applications. So I really appreciate the work that has been done that laid the groundwork for us to be able to move to the next step. The IB, I know when we opened, which is a whole different ballgame, when we opened the new high school, the teachers actually stepped forward and said, we are interested in being IB teachers. And they elected to move over to West Covina High School to be part of that program. Now, we have an existing middle school that we're looking at. How are we going to recruit teachers or get them to want to be part of this program? Or is it going to be that same kind of buy-in and there's going to be teachers moving from school to school?
We are hoping, and early indications are, that that same belief system that you described, the IB movement to begin with, also exists in the middle school. Again, provided we have the consensus, that will be one of our first chores, is to go out. And our hope is that the majority, if not all, of the middle school teachers at Edgewood will want to stay and be trained and implement that. It's an inertia, it's an energy, it's an excitement. That said, I think we do have to work with our teachers' organization to ensure that people are happy in their assignment. And if there are individuals who aren't there, we'll be working with Mr. Seaman to see if we can't work that in the future. This is something that we will bring as part of our recommendation next time. We'll have these kind of questions answered.
And then how long does it take to get approval for the middle and primary programs?
Once we put in an application for the ability to do that, which we could do as early as this spring, we could get approval to start in the summer. And then there's a whole year we have to participate in the program and come out for another review before we actually get blessed by IB to be an official program.
Because I know once we got the blessing, all of a sudden we had more people interested in actually coming over, but they were kind of standoffish until they knew we had that blessing.
I think the nice piece about having the Common Core already be a change that we've experienced, unlike the IB program where it's that specific course-driven piece, this is a philosophy for an entire school, and I think you'll see that most of our schools are already going down that path with the way that they're embracing the Common Core. So it's not going to be the same kind of shift that we saw with the IB diploma program.
I also want to share that on the next go-round, you'll hear more from the actual site principals themselves because it really is their school and their staff, and they're the ones that have to go out amongst the team and really build this esprit de corps, and they'll come forward and they'll share with you whether they feel they've capitalized that. Because if not, you know, we're all realists. Teachers are the core of everything when it comes to educating children. If you don't have the teacher buy-in and the teacher support and the morale, then it's folly to invest in something like this. I believe, knowing the quality of our principals and the indicators I have so far, that we would be very successful in this venture.
And I'm sorry, I was taking notes during the dual language. So if the question is, you may have answered the question, and I was taking notes on the previous one. I need to do that a little quicker. The dual language is only going to start in kindergarten, and then it moves up one grade level at a time. Is that what I understood her to say? Okay. And so we are going to have competing programs. You could choose to be in the dual language program or the IB program. How successful has that been in parents actually having to transport their own children to their non-neighborhood school? Let's say Orangewood was the IB program, and oh, that's awesome, but I think my child would be better suited for the dual language program, which may be across town. Has that been successful in parents actually traveling?
So first of all, let me go back to one of your original statements. It is a possibility that you could have a PYP program that is a dual language program.
Okay.
So that could happen. That being said, I can only speak qualitatively from my connections and friends and experience that a dual immersion program is a draw, and those who really feel the passion for that will transport or find transportation for their children. I've not heard that be an issue. when it comes to that, because people, you know, it's a certain, this board is about choices, and I respect that. There are certain stakeholders out there that, given that choice, they will do whatever it takes to participate in that kind of program. So my experience has been very positive when it comes to transportation.
So what I'm hearing you say, it's a possibility that Orangewood could be dual language and IB.
I will tell you
that one of the things we're looking at, exploring.
I will tell you that dual language fits very, very neatly with the K-12 IB continuum.
I'm excited about all the potential choices that our families will be able to look forward to in the near future. So I'm excited about all of this. I'm sorry that there's so much work on staff all at once.
Yes.
This is incredibly exciting, and it fits right in line with our strategic plan, as you pointed out. And so it is not a whole lot of change. It's exactly the change we need. So it's taking us to the next level. So I thank you, and I thank the principals with all their exciting ideas and their commitment to make this happen, because I know everyone's going to have to hit the ground running. If some of you aren't already, these are excellent programs. I'm so pleased that West Covina High is going to get some really good programs to be able to promote themselves in the community and draw and grow what is already happening there. And I'm thrilled about the middle school and the elementary years program. I think that's just a great natural progression and feeder there, and the possibility of dual immersion at Orangewood is fabulous. I had just a few questions, and thank you. The technical education program, I know that ROP has asked about where can we expand in your district, and, you know, they were excited about our new superintendent because they could build stronger and bigger partnerships. I know that there are some ROP programs there at Edgewood. So I look forward to seeing how this will tie in. This will be excellent. And over at Orangewood, I believe you have a TK program there. Do we have a TK? No? Not this year? So would we not have a TK there and leave it with the PYP for beginning in kinder, or would we eventually grow a TK program?
It would be something we'd have to examine.
Okay. Because my question was, how would we address a TK beginning with the IB, so beginning in kindergarten? So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it? Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. All right. I was just curious, just so I could start promoting this. How many IB middle school or elementary programs are in the San Gabriel Valley? Are we going to be the only one?
Miss Lessica.
Like, we'll be the only AP capstone?
We've been doing some research.
I believe the only K-12 continuum is in the city of San Jose.
Okay, so not San Gabriel Valley. All right, I'm sorry?
I believe the only K-12 continuum is in San Jose, the city of San Jose.
Okay.
That'd be a long commute.
Yes, very long.
You wanted to know the IB high schools that we have?
No, there's a middle or elementary program. Would we be the only one with that continuum? And he said San Jose. Okay.
We would have to find out.
All right, well, I'm going to assume we'll be the only one in San Gabriel Valley. Yeah. Mr. Dorsey said Orange County?
They don't have the continuum, but they have separate programs in the middle year, and then Walnut also has just the primary year.
Okay, so we'd be the only one in San Gabriel Valley, K-12. That's awesome. Okay, that's a good promotion point. Since we're strengthening our AP program, and I'm not trying to add more to anyone's plate later down the line, but would we be looking at the AP for the middle years program? Because the AP program does have a middle years program. So if we're trying to strengthen what we're doing in the AP world with West Covina High School.
Again, I would probably have to do the D&D, because again, you need a staff buy-in to do that. And,
okay.
And however, I would be very encouraged to do that. And there is actually a freshman human geography AP course that students are very successful at, that I asked Mr. Trovatore about, which is not currently in the master schedule, but another thing we can examine as we go down that road.
Absolutely. Okay, good. Yeah, that, and that could, I understand, could come a little later, but we're strengthening it. So as we're strengthening it, we can grow it down too. Okay, I think those were my only questions. I'm just really excited. Thank you. Thank you to the staff and to the principals and the teachers and the support staff who are going to take this on. This is really exciting. Very exciting work for us. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the next presentation.
One of the things that these things come to my mind that the board has also asked of me as superintendent is make sure that we squeeze the middle, that we have achieving students in the middle that need to move up. That's a lot of what this program will do. It's not just for that high-end group. We're going to squeeze the middle.
I'm sorry. I had one other question. I apologize. And I see Walnut Grove in the audience. What are we going to do for Walnut Grove? I know we had talked about a STEM academy there at one point. So what are we – is that – where does that fit in our presentation here?
This is about program, not site,
okay.
per se.
Okay.
So I don't have a response to that right now.
Okay. Because I know I want to keep the numbers growing at Walnut Grove.
Mr. Maneras?
Well, I won't belabor the point. I share everyone's excitement. I know that getting into those competitive universities is getting more and more difficult for students. So as a district, we need to be able to empower our students to compete against students from wherever they may be coming from, and programs like AP Capstone and dual immersion, if students could, cite what they did back in kindergarten, on their college applications and talk about how that has made them become the students they are, I feel that we're accomplishing our task as board members to, empower our students to get into the Harvards and the Stanfords, and so this is a great way to support our students, and I applaud the effort that's got into it and what's to come ahead. Great job.
Thanks. Just two more comments / questions. For the AP Capstone program, I know the IB program, whoever wants to be involved in it can join. Is it the same with the AP Capstone program? I don't expect you to answer it now.
I believe so.
But I would like to know that because the student representative brought up the WASC visitation for Edgewood, and I remember West Covina High, that was a huge thing, that students weren't allowed to choose AP classes. You had to test to get into them, and the WASC committee basically said, the students decide the schedule, not you. And so has always been important to me that the students who want to try it, who maybe people don't realize are perfectly capable, get the shot. And so I want to make sure that any program we approve is open to anybody who wants to try it. The next thing is, I know that Orangewood is seeming to be the best choice for the primary IB, but I'm thinking Orangewood is at this corner of the district. It's not the easiest to get to if you're from the other parts of the district. How is that going to impact the students who feed into that school who may not want to be part of the program when they have to go somewhere else because there's not a lot of convenient schools over here? And so I know we're talking about programs, but since that one is being specifically mentioned, that we actually consider that maybe three other elementary schools that are nearby may be a better fit for that primary program for those students coming from the area of West Covina I live in, which is all the way on the other side. So maybe it needs to be more central, and that will help. I always joke, to get to the district office either takes 2 minutes or 20, depending on lights. And so that is going to impact parents who need to get to work and get across town. And, yes, I agree, parents are going to want to be part of the program. But when push comes to shove, maybe good schools over here are enough. Okay. And so
I have one more question. To dovetail on what Ms. Shoemaker said, is there room for growth over at California? Because that would be a very close school. If parents opted not to be at Orangewood, they could then go to California. Is there room for growth there? You can answer that the next
time. The challenge with California is it's not a pre-K through 5.
Well, and then at West Cove and California, is there room for growth at both schools?
I'm sure we can look into that.
Okay, because if there's room for growth, those schools are pretty close. That's a good point. If parents don't want to be a part of it, and Orangewood is their home school. We do have two schools that are darn good, really close by. So,
At the end of the day, obviously,
I like the Orangewood.
Excuse me. At the end of the day, obviously, the board will determine the sites of the program. Staff will make a recommendation after we do the due diligence to see what we think is what works the best. I will add that there's no reason why you couldn't start a PYP and add another PYP if it's successful. So you actually could do both ends of the spectrum, maybe 1 year pilot, and then whether you started it at school X or still Y. So there are possibilities to, again, serve all the stakeholders.
Okay.
Okay.
But you may be up here for the next part, too.
Okay,
our next item is an information report on foster and homeless youth services and activities.
Okay, thank you, President Shoemaker. You are correct. Ms. Hawkins gets to continue to be up at the podium tonight. She's setting a record tonight, although I will challenge her that probably won't last very long. So with that being said,
I've never spoken at a board meeting more than tonight. So thank you, Dr. Hinman and board. This next piece is very near and dear to my heart with a homeless and foster youth piece. We put it as a goal in our LCAP, as a specific goal. And tonight, I'm going to be up here at the podium, but I'm not going to be the one speaking. I've asked Armando Morentes, the principal at Coronado High School, who has served as our foster youth liaison for many, many years, and Neha Shepatel, who's a licensed clinical social worker who works with us in our comprehensive counseling program in special ed, to present to you tonight on sort of what things look like for us with our foster and homeless youth, and then also to talk about where we're going forward. And so they've been doing an excellent job. So, Ms. Morentes?
Good evening, everyone. President Shoemaker and board members and Superintendent Hinman and council. We'd like to talk a little bit about programs and services for foster youth and for homeless youth, and to give you a little bit about what we're doing now and where we plan to go. Foster youth, first of all, are those that have been placed in foster care, group homes, or with a relative after being abandoned or removed from their home. And they've been placed in foster care in order to stop or prevent any type of abuse or neglect that they may have been, that has been occurring for them. The homeless youth is someone who is lacking a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence, and someone whose family is doubled up because of financial hardship. So those are the definitions of the two. I think those are kind of, there are other, obviously other cases of foster youth and homeless, but those are probably the easiest to understand, and we can go into more detail if you'd like. This shows the distribution of foster youth in the West Covina Unified School District. The way this works is when parents come to or when guardians come to enroll, they self-report during registration. So they will let us know that they are in foster care, and they check off on the registration form. So you can see that right now, according to CalPADS, we have 95 foster youth spread out within the grade levels of West Covina Unified School District. The homeless youth distribution, it looks like a large number, and it looks this large because there are different definitions of homeless youth. The first one gave you a little bit of a definition, but this also includes unaccompanied youth. So we have that in our district where students have are not in any kind of relationship with a guardian or parent. So unaccompanied youth is also included in this. And the largest group are those that are doubled up because of financial hardship. So when they go to register and enroll in our schools, there's a box that actually says, are you doubled up because of financial hardship? And those are included in this count of 2378. Currently, services that are available for foster and homeless youth, and I have to say that a lot of these services have been coordinated by Bertha Rodriguez. You've heard that name, and she's been a big part of what we've been able to do for our homeless and our foster youth. But Currently, there are baskets that are provided at both Thanksgiving and Christmas time. There's clothing that is provided. Gift cards are given to those in need. Backpacks with school supplies. Beginning of every school year, Coronado is filled with backpacks and school supplies that are distributed on an as-needed basis to either foster or homeless youth. We provide transportation for those students in order to get them to come to school. And we also have referrals for housing, job training, and counseling. And there's a list of the other things also. You'll see the foster youth and homeless youth committee that is being put together. What we're trying to do with this committee is we're going to be dedicated to having a more systematic approach for what we're doing right now. And we want to better identify and to serve foster and homeless youth. And that's the goal moving forward right now.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you. As Mr. Marenthas has mentioned, we have this committee, which includes district-level administrators. We're going to have a teacher on special assignment joining us. We're going to have elementary and secondary-level teachers joining the committee, as well as high school counselors, because there are A through G requirements that are different for the foster and homeless youth, and we're going to pay close attention to that. We're going to include some foster parents as a part of this committee member because we want to hear from them to understand the needs of the foster youth a little bit better. I reached out to Department of Children and Family Services as well as the local community colleges because we want to involve them and welcome them as a part of our committee to help us meet the goals that we've listed in the LCAP. Our first meeting is next Wednesday on March 4th from 3:30 to 5 p.m. And that's going to be our first committee meeting. We're hoping to meet once a month until the end of the year and then reconvene. Some of the goals that we've listed in the LCAP are to improve their attendance, improve the test scores. One of the ways that we're hoping to do that is to have a systematic approach, a systematic protocol procedures, where we're looking and assessing individual needs of each of the students. We want to make sure that we don't miss any of the students. And so CalPADS will be a system that will help us to identify our foster and homeless youth. In addition to that, LACO is coming out with a local data match database, which is going to use ARIES throughout the LA County districts, Los Angeles County districts, as well as Department of Children and Family Services will also have input. So there's going to be this integration between DCFS and the school districts all throughout the LA County. And that's coming in the near future. We don't know too much about it just yet. Through the systematic approach, we're going to assess the academic, social, and the emotional needs and identify strategies to address each one of those by developing the individual learning plan for each of the students. One of the additional things we mentioned in the LCAP is to provide workshops to parents and caregivers and foster parents, in addition to educating our staff and teachers on how to address all of these needs. The other program we're looking at is Positive Behavior Intervention Support System, which is a school-wide program to increase positive behaviors. The other thing that we're looking at right now is a Family Resource Center, where a centralized location where families of the foster youth and the youth themselves can come and have access to technology, computers, tutoring services, and any other services that they may need at one central location. And currently we're working on a resource directory that should be accessible to all district-wide staff, an electronic version and also a paper version, which includes all the resources that were mentioned and more. Thank you.
Any questions?
Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Thank you for the presentation. This was really informative here. Can you help me? I did not realize. This is new to me. The A through G requirement is different for foster youth? And is it both foster youth and homeless or just foster youth that it's different? Tell me how, because this is new to me. Thank you.
Sure. I believe it's for foster and homeless youth together, but I don't want to say 100% sure. I can get back to you with the correct answer. And I do believe that they can have certain credit based on, because foster, and I think it may be more towards foster youth, but
I want to get back to you with an accurate answer. But I know for sure for foster youth, because they move around so often, that they may be given partial credit for certain classes, or they may be given full credit. It depends. And so we're going to, as the committee, we're going to look in more into it and make sure that, you know, we're doing the right thing.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't aware of that. Thank you.
We're in the process of revising policy and bringing it to you regarding that.
This is very good. Thank you. That was my only question, but I appreciate the information, and I like that the committee is so varied.
You did a nice job.
Thank you.
How are foster families or students made aware of the donation closet and gas vouchers and everything that's on that particular slide, backpacks, clothes shopping?
Right now they're made aware of it through individual school sites. And so that's one of the reasons why in the LCAP we put together the idea of the systematic and systemic approach, and that's why we're working forward with that. Because we've identified that it is dependent on the individual school sites, but without a real system. So we're really looking forward to having that database available through LACO to help us with that.
And then who decides, they said, on an as-needed basis? Who decides that a foster child has that need or doesn't?
It would be the individual school site through recommendations to Coronado High at this point in time.
Okay. I mean, and I don't know if everyone would be forthcoming about their needs.
Which is one of the reasons why we're looking at the committee and looking at coming up with processes to sort of help relieve that, and maybe offer it when it's so that it's not searched for, but it's more of an offering.
And sometimes, not even just offered, just given, because there might be some stigma attached to that.
Completely understand.
But if someone is just giving you a gift,
yep,
that's hard. It's not because you're needy, you know, because your situation is more intense than any other foster child. This is something that we offer.
Correct.
I would like to see it done that way so that any student in need is going to get it. You can always refuse something, but it may be very hard to ask. Is the foster committee invitation only?
Not necessarily. We were trying to keep the numbers manageable to work with the committee, but I mean, if there were somebody who really wanted to participate in the committee, certainly we could include those people.
I'm just trying to figure out how they even know. There may be somebody really wonderful out there who would be interested in being on it.
At this point, we've been asking the school sites, but as with any district committees, once we ask the school sites and we get people participating, if people want to come and join, generally we're more flexible with that.
And with DCFS, we are served by many offices. Who is being invited, and are we asking representatives from the different offices? Because they're all so different.
Let Neha answer that one.
I contacted our LACO representative who's overseeing the foster and homeless youth program, and she had my recommendations. And so I reached out to two of the local DCFS agencies.
Can you tell me which ones?
I can tell you their names. I can get back to you with their names.
What?
Glendora office.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't – do you know where most of our students are – what office they're coming from?
No, we don't have that information. We have names of social workers, but we don't have information on which location they're coming from.
Because they are quite different in how they relate to students, and
okay.
It would be nice to have representatives from the ones where our families are actually from. And if they're inputting data, wouldn't they actually have the social worker put in the data of what office she's from?
The data that we have from CalPADS is giving us only the social worker's name and phone number, not the location. But we can do more investigative work.
I bet the phone numbers would tell you where they're from, because they all have the first three numbers the same from each office.
Okay.
So that might be a way, very easy way, to track where they're from.
Okay.
There's going to be this integration of data, which is really awesome, which I thought had already started. But it sounds like from the presentation at CSBA, they said that this had all been integrated as of last October. So that hasn't happened, from what I'm hearing. How long is that going to take to get up and running? And it sounds like multiple people are going to be doing inputting. And how does that work?
We are still working on the database question. Based on some research that I was doing and some information and questions that I had been asked, we were looking at where was this information coming from. Primarily the information that I think CSBA was referring to was from the CalPADS piece, and so naturally it would be the people within our district who are responsible for those data uploads that would be doing that at the direction of the school sites based on enrollment and things of that nature. As recently as the 23rd, we just received information from the county that they have gotten permission to work with ARES, which I believe, Mr. Marentes, is 38 districts?
There are 80 districts in LA County, and they're trying to get the information, but at this time there are only 38 districts that are using the ARES.
That are using ARES.
So there's going to be a lot of work.
So they're trying to figure out at the county level, they'd like to integrate all 80 districts because the kids cross over districts. Right now, they can only get the agreement for the student information systems to work through the ARES system, and we just found that out as recently as this morning. So it's very fast and furious, and I think part of this committee will be to work with that. We're seeing a lot more information in the news about, because of the LCAP and the focus on the state priorities with foster youth, on examining the programs and the processes that we're doing. So I think we're right out there on the cutting edge, maybe more so than other districts. So we look forward to how we can use that database in the future.
And who is putting the information on the A through D requirements? I mean, what students in our district, what our students has achieved, why they're here? Who's going to be inputting that into the database?
Right now, it would be coordinated with the ARES piece of it. So there's some CalPADS coordination, and then there's some ARES coordination, and that would all come at the school site level, depending on where they're, where they're located.
So who?
With their transcripts.
Another question that we were asked to ask at CSBA is, who has access to that information? Who has permission to access that information?
Since I haven't seen what the actual database looks like, I would tell you it wouldn't be anybody other than maybe counselors, school site principals. It would be a very limited access for changing at this point.
And would every counselor, would there be somebody at every elementary site, every middle school site, and every counselor at the high school have access, or we still don't know?
We still don't know, because we don't know what it looks like. Right. And you can see from the numbers with 95 students, certainly principals will have access to those sorts of things, but we need to work with what's in there, what would need to be uploaded, what's uploaded naturally from the student information system. I have no idea what it looks like yet.
It's all very exciting, but it sounds like it's going to be very difficult. But it would be really nice for when students have multiple placements in a year, to be able to, for us to be able to access that quickly.
Yeah.
And it even said that they would talk about if there was behaviors, if they were expelled or suspended, that you could see that immediately and meet those children's needs.
We're hoping that with the committee and the programs that we put together, whether we have the benefit of an electronic database or not, we'll be able to address some of those, because that is a concern when the kids are moving around so quickly.
Yes. And that one of the things that they were saying that they were really going to try to work on that isn't addressed here and it doesn't need to be, is that they were going to try to keep children in their school of residence. And that when they were doing placement, and I don't know how they're going to do this in LA County with the need, but they were going to be asking at the time of placement if the parents would be willing to travel to the child's school so they could keep in that school. But with the high need for foster parents in LA County, I don't know how that's going to work, but they did say that that was something. And with all these great programs, who would want to leave our district?
Any further questions? Mr. Flowers?
Yes, again, thank you guys for this Boston Homeless Youth thing. I'm so glad to see this. I'm going to hold on to this. I met a young lady at the end of last year. I knew she was having hard times. She lost a home. She had four kids in our district. And I had given her my card, but I couldn't find her over the holidays. And I found out she was living in her car, her and her four kids. The oldest one's in the 12th grade. And I think one of her kids is special ed. But I saw another friend of hers, and she's told me, said my mother said, no, we wouldn't have you living in the car, so come stay with us. But I found out she just got housing, so I was going to come. I was talking to Eileen about it. She told me, well, you can send him to Mr. Morantis. He may can help, because I was looking for the help. I said, maybe the school district can do something for her. But also, all of these services, I say services via foster, liaison, so all the homeless, everything's available to them also.
We made a choice when the law came out with LCAP and was supported by the board that we wouldn't just examine foster youth, but in a district with the poverty level that we have and with the challenges that we have with homelessness in our district and around the country, that we would put those two pieces together and really benefit our kids in need. Because some of our students who are foster youth have similar needs to some of our homeless students.
As of today, I saw the young lady the other day walking to school in my walks in the morning. I know she's right now, they're still living with this family. The five of them, kind of mother makes five, she's living with the family. So if I tell her she needs help, what would I tell her to go to if she needs help? What would I send her?
To see Mr. Morantes and Ms. Rodriguez at Coronado High School.
No, you know what? I'm glad this came forth. Thank you so much.
But remember, I heard them say that they would provide transportation. If that family can't make it there, I heard them say they'd provide transportation.
She can call. I know that through Title I, Ms. Lessiker and I work with Mrs. Rodriguez to purchase bus passes and fund the little Metrolink cards and all of those things. So we can get those pieces.
Also, part of McKinney Bento, we have to provide transportation. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the law.
Right.
So we will provide.
So we're good.
You see, there's another thing you can offer if they can't make it there.
So, President Shoemaker, if I may, so I want to, again, commend the board, because sometimes you ask questions that we may not have answers for. But that's due diligence, that's transparency, and you've asked a lot of questions that I was uncomfortable not having the answer to. So I just want to assure the board that we will come back and we will get answers to those questions. I think the one that bothered me the most was how do, yes, we offer these services, but how do we know that they know about these services and how do they make that connect? So we're going to get that information to you and get that back to you. So thank you.
Okay. There are no other items on our agenda. For Board of Education discussion, the board was passed a petition to form the Junior ROTC or CCC at Edgewood High School. I would like an information report either on our next agenda or just in our packet. We have an Air Force, actually it needs to be on the agenda. We have an Air Force Junior ROTC at West Covina High. Mm-hmm. I would like an update on that program because we've had some problems with enrollment in the past. I want to know where we're at now. And then they're requesting this to be formed at Edgewood High School. Mm-hmm. And I believe there are provisions in the Military and Veterans Code that they're referencing that will not allow competing ones within a certain mile radius, even if they're different branches. And so I just would like confirmation of that so that we can explain that to Edgewood if necessary. Okay.
And there could also be a fiscal component as well that we'll bring.
Yeah, I'm less concerned with that one. More concerned with if we can offer it, yes. If we can't, they need to know. Yeah. So that they can maybe look into joining our wonderful Air Force ROTC.
Can they from a different school?
They would have to go. Well, you know what? They may be able to. That is a good question. If there's a way that they can just join. And Mr. Seaman's saying yes. Okay. And so any further Board of Education discussion? Seeing none, the next date to remember is March 10th, 2015, which is our next Board of Education meeting. With that, this meeting is adjourned at 8:36.
All right. Thank you.